And I want you to have liberty here at Victory Church. I really do. I believe where the redeemed are gathered, they will get up and they will say so. You know, there's a lot of verses. Let me just read a few of them, and there's a lot of passages of Scripture that come to mind when we talk about having the privilege and the opportunity to gather in the name of the Lord. There's a lot of privileges that we have as missionary Baptists that other church members don't get to have. The Bible teaches, you know, Paul was teaching about speaking in tongues and how wrong that was, getting up and giving a discourse in another language when other people can't understand that. You need to have an interpreter. But he said when the church gathers together and everybody has a testimony and they begin to tell their testimony and they get to praising God and telling about how God is working in their lives, he said that when sinners are among you, they will fall on their face and they'll worship God because God's people are following the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I got to witness that growing up. You know, when I was small, it wasn't the preacher up there that got my attention so much as people around me getting up and being filled with the Spirit. And I knew as a young boy, man, God was in that person. God was working in that person's life. God was working in my mom's life. I lived with her, but I knew when God was working in her life, and I knew that was not her, I knew that was God. God was with her. God was among the people of God, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful I got to witness that growing up. I'm thankful I got to experience that. I remember Nathan York, and he was one of the most dignified men I ever met in my life. Man, was he a salesman? Everything was proper about him, but I tell you, he'd get filled up in the Lord, and he would walk the aisles, and he would preach. I remember when he was running from his call to preach, and he got to walk in the aisles, and he'd take that old handkerchief, and he'd swirl it around his head, and he said, "God's called me to be a singer." Running from his call to preach, and song director sat him down afterwards, said, "I don't believe people are called to sing." He finally admitted he was called to preach, but I'm glad I got to witness stuff like that growing up. I may have made somebody a little upset here recently. They were talking about how they don't want their kids in the sanctuary. And I tell you, I'm opposed. Now, we've got a crying room back there. They get to crying. But your children need to see people being moved by the power of God. Amen. Man, did that leave an impression on me when I was young. Amen. That was more important as a child to me than what the preacher was saying. Can I get an amen? I'd be there in the pew as a little boy, and man, God would come down, and I immediately would lift my head up, and I would watch them folks in the Spirit. I've seen my mom get happy and jump out of her shoes so many times, and she's got the ugliest feet in the world. And only me and my sister knew that. But she, if you ever see her shout, she always comes out of her shoes. People losing their dignity. Not caring. Just wanting to praise God and serve God and love God and magnify the things of the Lord. Folks, we are fortunate to be privileged to enjoy that. Don't ever let that slip away from your life. Let your children be exposed to it. It's important for them to have that. It's important for people to have the privilege that when God is prompting them to be able to get up in a church service and magnify the Lord. I don't want to be associated with any church that won't let that happen. I'm thankful that visitors come among us. And man, they feel the presence of God and the liberty. We've had preachers come and visit us that knew nothing of us. Come right in here and they're like, wow, the Spirit of the Lord is here. And they have the liberty to get up and say something about it. We've had two preachers in the last month that didn't know us from Adam come and visit us from different areas of the country and say, man, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. Well, I quoted the verse. The Bible is very clear about these things. And, you know, there's something that can occur inside of you that only comes from following the Lord. Taking a stand for God. There, God does a work inside of you when He prompts you. And I remember the first time I had to testify. I never told anybody I saved. I told my mom and dad I thought I saved, but I never testified that I was saved, okay? And I thought my heart was going to beat out of my chest. Y'all remember? I knew it was the Lord. It confirmed that I was saved, being led of the Lord. I mean, it seemed like all the demons of hell were trying to keep me from getting up. I was only 10 years old, from standing up and just saying, I've been saved. I tell you what, when I did that, oh man, there was a confirmational work that was done inside of me that could have only been done by the Lord. I believe with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but confession is made by the mouth unto salvation. Yeah. And I want our young people confirmed in the Lord. And your parents can't do that for you. The preacher can't do that for you. Only God can do that for you. And that confirmation only comes from following the Lord. It may have been a long time since you stood and told about being saved. It raises you up above the assaults of the devil when you do it. And, you know, I want you to have that liberty here. I believe this church wants you to have that liberty. Now, we've had probably 4 hours of preaching this weekend. And I preach usually 3 times a week here, or teach 3 times a week here. We get a lot of teaching. And let me say this about the Word of God. You need to be daily in the Word of God. You don't need to take the preacher for at his word. You need to study it out for yourself. You need to get in the Word, and you need to find out what it says, and you need to believe what it says and do what it says. The way to approach the Word of God is you go searching for what I should believe, what I should practice, what I should do, and you find out what it tells you to do and then do it. We wouldn't have half the trouble we have today in our churches and around the world if people just do what it says. Amen? You know, I preached about tithing a few weeks ago. If you have any question about that, don't take my word for it. You study it out for yourself. That's how my dad came to tithing. He went to the Word. And he became convinced that was what God said about it. Don't take my word for it. You study it out for yourself. You do what the Word of God teaches. All these subjects, all these things that are put before us, we can always find them in the Word of God. Amen? And we've never tried to cram anything down anybody's throat. We tell people, go to the Word. We believe this is divinely inspired. And this is what tells us what to believe and what to do. How to live our lives. I get in the Word daily. I'm not going to preach today. But Aaron, I've already done, well, Aaron had a testifying service a few Sundays back at Three Springs, and he said, I didn't know how to handle that. And he said, I preached. And I thought to myself, what Brother Lambert said, don't preach and mess it up. One of them old preachers long ago. You know, when the Lord's moving among God's people, that's great, isn't it? That can do a greater work in people's hearts than you could ever do with something you say. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I love this way. Yeah, I love this way. I love the fellowship that we have and the camaraderie, and I love the harmony, and I love the Spirit of God that makes that possible. I mean, we're different people from all different backgrounds and all different levels of life, and yet we come together and we have one thing in common. It's the power of God resting upon our lives, in our lives and in our homes, and we just praise the Lord for it. Yeah. I remember when we sang in a gospel group years ago, and we got invited to sing at the Big Baptist Church uptown. And the pastor took us back in the back room, and he said, now look, we don't want any testifying. We don't want you going off script. We don't want you shouting or doing anything like that. We want you to sing these songs that you've presented to us and nothing else and nothing more. I remember my uncle, he said, okay, you know, we want to respect, you know, what you believe and how you practice. And we announced it at church that we were going to that big church. And Sister Jones from Fellowship came to hear us sing, and she shouted all over that church. My uncle had a smirky grin on him the whole time we were singing. I tell you, they couldn't get her stopped. She lost it. And listen, I believe that God is in control. He has the authority over our lives. I believe He needs the authority in our churches. I believe Christ needs to be the head of the church. And, you know, Paul, I was going to read these verses, but I want to make sure everybody is free. Maybe you have a song. I always like ending in a song. Somebody have a song? Rob, you guys have a song? Come sing for us. You know, when I read the Word of God, I expect the same things that went on in the first century church to pretty much go on in the church today. Now, I realize we don't have prophets, we don't have apostles, and we don't have certain gifts. But the Spirit of the Lord is still with His church. And it wasn't the preaching of Peter that brought a great awakening in Jerusalem. It was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, Peter preached a good message, undoubtedly. He was an apostle. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But I've read it over and over again. There wasn't really anything in there extraordinary. It was simple truth of the Old Testament. That when they asked what this was, he said, this was the prophet, the prophecy being fulfilled of the prophet Joel. And he read the Old Testament. Folks, it was the power of God. The Bible says it wasn't his sermon, but it was the Holy Spirit that pricked their hearts. Yeah. God working in the soul. And you know, I still believe in that today. God has to do a work in your soul. that repentance and faith, they are graces of God. Now you need to seek God. You need to call on God, but God gets involved in your repentance. God gets involved in your faith. You need to be convicted of your sins. You need to be drawn to the Lord. I believe in all that, don't you? I believe God always, always, always blesses His church. He always blesses His Word. He always blesses His gospel. He sent His church into the world to warn people to flee the wrath to come. And the Spirit in the church still works in the hearts of sinners today. Oh, I tell you, we live in some difficult times. I'm thankful for the edification that goes on in the church. I'm thankful for words of understanding that we've heard from Brother Brad and others today about how God works in their lives. You know, there's a lot of truth that's been proclaimed here today. How God works when you go visit a mentor and He shows up and just demonstrates Himself and you experience God other places other than at church. Amen? Man, that's a message within itself. And I'm telling you, what Brian experienced, you can experience. God will show up in some extraordinary places of your life. My call to preach happened while I was at work in a stacker crane in Indianapolis, Indiana, on the southeast side of town, at Lane Bryant's. I pulled merchandise for Lane Bryant's. I was at work. I was praying about the revival. I was praying in that crane. I was only 17 years old, but I tell you what, God was in that place. Whoa. Man, it was like holy ground when He called me to preach. I hit my face. I'll never forget that. That was the dirtiest place. I worked second shift. And first shift never cleaned up their mess. And there was all kinds of nasty stuff in the floor of that crane. It was only like a 3x4 space. And I got on my face. I mean, I laid my face in the floor of that stacker crane. And I started crying out to God. My best friend was my boss. He came walking down that aisle. He looked up at me and said, "What in the world is going on up there?" And I stopped. I looked around the corner and I said, "I am praying." He said, "Okay. Okay." He walked away. God can be experienced anywhere. At home. I love Charles' testimony. I want to say this, okay? It's important for people to have Paul-like testimonies until the Lord comes back. Amen? Folks, testimonies like that gets people's attention. Paul's testimony on the road to Damascus got people's attention. He declared exactly what happened to him. He was not ashamed before kings to say, "I saw a great light. And I saw Jesus on the road to Damascus." He never changed it up one time. That's what happened to him. And we need those. Amen? You got to have an experience with God. Yours might not be to that degree. I haven't had a Paul-like experience, but I've had one. And everybody's got to have one. Amen? Oh, I tell you, it's important for us to come together. And Now let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. And let me say this. If you're going to a church that hasn't had one that doesn't do this, okay, like they had at Corinth, then you're in the wrong church. And you need to get in the right one. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will I not say you're mad? But if all prophesy, or everybody comes in and they testify, and they're not speaking in other languages, and they're very clear and very specific, and you can understand what they're saying. Now, he's not talking about the preacher preaching. He's talking about the whole church. Every saved person has something to testify and praise God about and tell about the experiences that they've had with God. And there come one among you sitting in your congregation that's an unbeliever that believeth not. This is 1 Corinthians 14. I'm in verse 23 and verse 24. And he's unlearned. He don't understand anything. Well, shouldn't we have somebody explain things to him? And have you ever been afraid of bringing somebody from work to church? Remember being afraid to bring one of your friends to church with you? Afraid somebody's going to shout? And then you'd have to explain it to them? Y'all remember that? Oh, come on. Some of y'all been raised in church. You know, them being exposed to that might be the best thing they ever experienced. And sometimes when they experience it, they don't even ask you. Because it got a hold of them on the inside. But anyway, they're unlearned. It says when he hears all these people testifying and prophesying and praising God and witnessing and sharing at church, he says they are convinced by all of this proof given by all these different people who all basically say the same thing. And he is judged or condemned by that. And he says, thus are the secrets of his... Isn't that what we want? People convicted of their sins? Their hearts exposed before a holy God. They see God holy and themselves sinful. They see that they too need a Savior. Isn't that what we want them to see? The secrets of their hearts are exposed before God. They're made manifest. And they run out of the church. Oh no. I tell you what, when God shows up, it says they will fall down upon their faces in the floor. Amen? Listen, if you've never been to a church where everybody gets on their face, the saved, or when people get on their face when they're lost, you're probably going to the wrong church. He says they will fall down on their faces. To me, it seems like right there at church, they'll get on their faces and they'll pray. At church. I had a close friend of mine years ago when I was in Memphis, Bill, and he used to print the Baptist Beacon when I was the editor, and I used to testify to him and testify to him and testify to him, and we would talk and talk for hours. We talked about church. We talked about the scriptures, and I said, look, I don't want to argue with you about baptism, about the necessity of baptism. I said, but I do want to emphasize that you must be born again. That you've got to experience God. And I pointed into verse 8 of John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone. Everyone. I said, Bill, I said, I don't care. I'm not going to talk to you about the doctrine of baptism. You got to have one of these experiences where God comes and manifests himself to you. The Spirit of God has to show up in your conversion. It's like the wind blowing across your soul. And you know that you've been forgiven. You know that you've been born from above. Months went by, and I went by to have another issue printed, and he said, "Tim, come in here. I want to tell you something." I said, "Okay." He said, "I've got it. I experienced John 3 and 8. And I'm like, "Tell me about it." He said, "Well, I was in church." And he said, "I got in all kinds of trouble. And Lord told me to get on my face right there in the middle of that church and call on God." And I said, "Well, what'd you do?" He said, "I knew if I did that, they would haul me out. They wouldn't let me get on the floor and pray." And I said, "Well, Bill," I said, "if you'd been at Landmark, we would." Amen. He said, "I came home and I crawled underneath the kitchen table. And I found the Lord right there." I'm glad I go to a church that if you want to fall down on your face and call on God, you have the liberty to do that here. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you again, you do not have that liberty in other churches to do what this verse says. This verse says that to hear the testimonies of God's people, they would fall on their faces and worship God and confess or report that God is in you of a truth. Amen. God is here. God is there. Oh, wow. But anyway, I read those verses, so, you know, had somebody complain one time. Man, I preached. I got so full one time and preached, I know, 20 minutes up here, and the lady complained later. She said, "I never heard you take a text." I said, "Lady, I quoted about 100 scriptures." "What do you mean I didn't take a text?" The world don't understand these ways, do they? They never have and they never will. But folks, listen to me. We are blessed. Amen. We're going to sing they're going to sing this song. I thank you for your testimonies today. I ended up preaching anyway, didn't I? Have we even prayed yet? See? I tell you what, there's been times I've gotten up here and I get to preach and forget to take the collection. Folks, I'll tell you what. When God is here, that's what we ought to think about. That's what we ought to center our hearts and minds on. God being present with us. Amen? God showing up. And I look into your eyes this morning, and I've heard many of you testify and shout and praise God and get full of the Spirit. And I've seen you sit there with tears in your eyes and just God working in your life. And, you know, I remember my daughter. I remember looking at her, and, you know, she would always have a tale before she testified. I could always tell when she was going to testify. I actually have a video when she was standing in the choir, and I showed it to her the other day during the Thanksgiving. I have it on my computer of her testifying. I've got it labeled as a file. Tiffany testifying. You know, she was just a teenager, and she got up, and I'd like to show it to us. About 7 of the people that were up here are gone. Sister Nicholas, and I'm not going to name all of them. I just happened to notice that. They were in the choir. She got up and she testified. She said, "Oh God, it's brought me through so much trouble in my life this week." And just praise God for that. And she looked at me when she heard that, listened to that testimony. She said, "I didn't even know what trouble was at that age." You know. Her mother says, "Probably a boyfriend." You know. Fathers, just wait. Those girls, when they get to a certain age, it's drama, 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 drama at that age. But God will bring you through any trouble. Even if it's boyfriend trouble. Whatever trouble you're in, I'm telling you, we have a God that can deliver you, help you. And you need to experience God in your life. Well, anyway, I've talked enough. Let's get on the altar while they sing this song. Y'all sing.